Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
As you go to Genesis chapter 37, let me just make you aware of some things. The Old Testament, as most of you know, God used people's lives and stories to preach sermons in the Old Testament. Joseph is a type of Christ, and you're going to see that as we read this passage today. And he is a shadow and an illusion of all of the things that Christ soon becomes in the New Testament. He shadows that. He illustrates and shows us who Christ is. And these many parallels are very interesting, actually, when you look in the New Testament and you see the parallels of who Joseph was in the Old Testament and who Jesus was in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, there are many great stories, and some of the stories are rather odd. If you look at some of those, they're unique in that some of the stories that we are told in the Old Testament have special details that are included. And what you will find is that when those details are included, that God didn't just put those details in the Old Testament in order to just fill up empty white pages. The Lord put those details in there for unique purposes and for things for us to understand and for us to either emulate or to be aware of. And what we find is the parallel of Joseph's life is very close in his relationship to his father Jacob or Israel, very close to the parallel the way that our Lord Jesus had a parallel with his father, the one who sent him as the only begotten son. And so as we read this, I want you to tie those connections together, because here's the thing. Every great person that I have ever known, every great man or woman of God always has a story to tell. Their story is varied. Your story is different than probably the person sitting down the row from you, because those stories tell us how God has walked with you through your life and how he has been with you at every turn, and he illustrates that he has always shared with you those times of circumstance that may not have been pleasant at the moment, but God was still there. And God was still writing your story. And God was still creating life in you when you felt like there was no life to be had. But God was making his purpose lived out in your life. Every great person that I have ever known has always had those stories. Maybe yours is not as long, but those stories are important because they are writing the story not of your life, but the story of God in your life. So this morning, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to begin in verse 3. Now, verse 3, I'm going to read from the King James Bible, because back when I was in the intermediate class, they taught us from the King James Bible, because that was really all that there really was. So I'm going to read the first verse in the King James, because it uses a word that I really want to key to for the next few weeks, and that is the word coats. Say that word with me, coats. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready to wear a coat. So let's look in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. The Bible says, now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. That's the way I learned it. So let's continue on. Verse 4, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And now Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now skip down to verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. And then they came to one another and said, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast have devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic or coat, the tunic of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray that today, that Lord, that you would anoint me to speak your words of truth, your words of life into those who are here this week. I don't know where we have been and traveled this week. I don't know what story you have been writing in those who sit here today. But Lord, I pray that today, Lord, as they leave, that they would know that you are the master story maker, Lord. And I pray that, God, that you would inspire these words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that Israel loved Jacob, or Joseph. Jacob, his father. That there was a special place in Israel's heart and Jacob's heart for his son Joseph. It was special. It was a very deep love. It was something that wasn't contrived. But Jacob, Israel, made something of Joseph because there was something special about him. He just knew that there was something unique in this young man that had been born to him in his older years. And maybe it was that Joseph reminded Jacob of himself. Maybe it was the unique circumstances that he was born into. Because Jacob was born into a unique circumstance. He was a twin. He was one who was told by the Lord, told to Rebekah, said that the younger will be over the older. The older will serve the younger. And as Esau and Jacob, Israel, were born, Jacob came out first, born or came out holding the heel of Esau, who was born first. But he became the one that God said, "I will bless Jacob, because I have chosen him." Maybe Jacob honored Joseph because of that, because his story was very similar, and God said, "I'm going to bless this young man, Joseph, because he is a part of the seed of the promise that began with Abraham, that God said, I am going to produce divine seed in you." And we knew it had to be divine seed, divine DNA, because Sarah's womb was as good as dead. But as soon as the seed of God hit her womb, there was something miraculous that took place, and she gave birth at the age of 90 years old. How many of you ladies want to sign up for that one? It was a miraculous seed, and why Jacob, why Israel chose to honor Joseph in such a way, we don't know exactly, but we do know the fact that there was a great measure of love that Jacob extended, that Israel extended to Joseph. Maybe it was because he saw there was something at work in his life. Maybe he saw something special at work in Joseph's life. It wasn't exactly the skill or the personality that maybe Joseph had. It wasn't the uniqueness of his talents or his abilities, although they may have been there. The Bible is silent on some of those. We know later in his life that he was definitely a very talented leader. But we don't know that thing. You see, there's a lot of people who can look at your life when you're a grown oak tree and they can say, "Wow, you're really something. There is something to be said about that." But when you're just a sapling or that little acorn that's on the ground, nobody sees that specialness of your life. There's a lot of people who it's easy to choose and pick out when God's really blessing them in public, but when they aren't anything and nobody knows them and nobody's aware of their talents and their abilities, they don't know and it's hard to spot them. But let me tell you something, when the hand of God is on you, it doesn't matter your skill or your talent level or even where you are, or if you're just that small sapling, when God's hand is on you, there's something special. And maybe Jacob, maybe Israel saw something special in Joseph. I don't know. But the Bible says that he loved him more than anybody else in that family. It was unique. God is proud of your abilities and he's proud of your skills. But let me tell you something. That does not stir God's heart. The Father's heart is stirred because of who you are, not because of what you are. Because what you are right now may not be exactly what you are in the next month or the next year, but you may be something different. But God doesn't concern himself with the what we are as much as the who we are. You are loved not because of how much money you can put in your bank. You are loved by God not because of the address that you live at. You are loved by God not because of the things that you have or the titles on your door or the degrees at the end of your name. You are loved by God because you are his son. You are his son. You are his family. You are his heir. Somebody say, I'm a son of God. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a son of God. It's okay, ladies, you can say that. It's all right. Because that is less about gender. Matter of fact, it's not about gender. It's about position. And when you are a son of God, you are an heir of God, which means that if you are a lady, you have as much right as any man in the room as to the family of God. You are an heir of God. Jacob loved Joseph because he was his son, and God's hand was definitely upon him. It's nice when you are the son of a mighty father. That's nice when you can be the son of a mighty man, because all you have to do really is just mention his name, and you get some preferential treatment, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been favored by being able to know some pretty powerful people and influential people, and all you have to do is when you go to those places that know, you just have to mention their name. Yeah, that's who I'm here with. When you mention the Father's name, let me tell you something, heaven stands to attention, and they take notice because they know that something has happened in your life. The Father especially loves the children who are walking on this planet. Even the angels can't experience it because he didn't send his son to earth for the sake of the angels. He sent his son on earth for you and for me. Amen. It was because of us that he, this mighty Father in heaven, sent his only son so that we would know him. That father who cares so much about his children and about his son, let me tell you something, he'll do anything it takes when he finds his children in a bind. If my kids were ever caught in some trouble, they know. I didn't have to tell them this. They know. That the only phone call that they have to make is they just need to call Daddy. Amen. Because they know this one thing, and I hope that you understand this. I'm going to make this application. All you got to do is get a hold of Dad. Because Dad's got my back. Yes. It doesn't matter where I'm at or who's coming against me or what stands in my way. All I need to do is get a hold of Dad. If I can get Dad, if I can get the Father on the phone, I know that he can iron things out. He can make things right because he is my Father. Yes. All we have to do, friends, is call out the name of our Father. No matter where you are, what circumstance you may find yourself in, you are a son of God. You are a part of the family of Him. And there is a great measure of love that He bestows your way. A great measure of grace that comes towards you because you are His son. You know who you are. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You're a son. Now, I've heard that statement before where Joseph was beloved, the beloved son of his father. I've heard that before somewhere in Scripture, haven't you? If you go to Matthew chapter 3, it's the story of Jesus and his baptism. The Bible says that as he was baptized, as he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came saying, "Behold, this is my son, whom I love, and in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was the beloved son of his father, just like Joseph was the beloved son of his father. And God uses this story that I read in Genesis chapter 37 as a precursor, as an illustration of how God feels about you and how God feels about me. Because, you see, I want you to understand something. All through Scripture, God has been putting the plan that He had in store for us a long time ago. The illustration that we see in Genesis chapter 37 that took place thousands of years before Jesus came up out of the water at the Jordan River has been established for a long time. Now hear me. God knows where you are in your life. I know where my children are at all times. They don't even know how I know. But I know. They can't tell me they're somewhere they're not because I know. I know. I have put a plan in place to where I know what is going to happen in their life by according to where they are. I know what's going on in my kids' life. I talk to them. I communicate to them. I know you do the same thing. And long ago, Shannon decided we were just going to be a part of our kids' lives in a very unique way. Not just to be their parents, not just to be their friends, we were going to be a part of their lives. And so we planned to have this family, and we ended up with Sydney, and then Seth came along, and then Sawyer, who wasn't exactly on the schedule, but he came along anyway. This plan of developing this family and growing this family and what to do with them has been in place long before Sydney ever showed up on the crib of our bedroom in that crib. God is not making things up in your life as you go along. Just like the story of Jacob and Joseph here, God the Father has had things in plan in your life for a long, long time.
Yes, He has. He will.
There are things that God knows about in your life that you had not been aware of for a long time. And maybe you're just now finding out about those things. But God doesn't make things up as He goes along. He's not reacting to the circumstances in your life, even the circumstances today. The plan of God for your life, He creates things from the end to the beginning. The plan of God was in store and when Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth, before the earth was set on its axis and began to spin and rotate and to begin revolutions around the sun, God had already made a plan of salvation. For not just the plan putting Jesus on the cross, but God had a plan of salvation for your life and for mine. For those family members that are still far from God, the people that you know who don't know Jesus today, that you've been praying for years, God has a plan for their life. And He's working. He's not caught off guard. He's not surprised. Well, I don't know how they ended up here. I guess I'm going to have to do something. God is not surprised by the things that transpire in your life. He's been working out His plan of salvation for a long time. long time. God has been thinking about you for a long time. Because he has loved you for a long time. He has chosen you long ago. And the Bible helps us see this. That there is a destiny that the Father has planned his children for. Being a child of God is one thing, but being an heir in the kingdom is another. And understanding that everything that the Father has is one day going to be yours, that is a game changer, my friends. We have to live like we are heirs. That what the Father has already started in motion is going to one day come to us. Some of you may be saying, you know what, Pastor, I'm not always happy about my history. But one thing I am happy about is I'm happy about my future because the Father's got the future in store for me. There's some things that I regret in my life, some places that I wish I had never gone, some things that I wish I had never said. But I want you to know, Pastor, God has a plan for my life and he's going to work it all out. I just believe it. I know it. You may end up in the bottom of the pit like Joseph, but let me tell you something. All you have to say is, hey, give me a minute because I know God's got a plan for my life and it ain't the bottom of this pit. Israel loved Joseph. He loved him. And the Bible says that because of that love, he made him a coat of many colors. See, I'm going to get there. He made him a coat of many colors. You know, this is the odd part of the story. When this great patriarch, this story of this great man that the Bible describes as a great man of God, who God changed his name from deceiver Jacob to Israel, separated once, called once. God changed his name. It's an odd part of the story where you have this patriarch who goes and gets a needle and thread and makes a coat. Who takes time out to make a coat, a garment. And the thing about it is that this is very indicative because in the Bible, whenever a garment is made, whenever a garment is put forth, it is indicative of who this person is. It describes who they are. When you go in the Old Testament and you see the garments that God described in very quaint detail about Aaron's garments, the priestly garments, he used intense details about what the length was supposed to be, the colors that were to be used, the size, everything about it was important to the Lord because it was indicative that this was the priest of God. And here we find this patriarch who makes a garment for his son, a coat. A coat that he stitches together. And the Bible says it was a coat, as most of you learned it, a coat of many colors. Not a coat of many dyes, but it was a coat of many colors. Different colors, different things. You see, when God has his hand upon you, he creates you to be a multifaceted person. Now listen to me. He makes you to be someone that is uniquely you. As God begins to stitch the things of your life together, he takes lots of different experiences and tragedies and events and things and circumstances and people in your life, and he begins to stitch things upon this garment that he lays upon you so that he can identify who you are. Now, somebody's not catching it with me yet. God begins to stitch the multicolors. I just told you earlier that you have a unique story. Some of you have stories that I can't even compare to, but that is a stitching that God has created into the garment of your life. He created him a coat of many colors. Different pasts, different experiences, different things that he was going to touch. You look at the life of Joseph. You look at where he was. A prisoner, a leader, a man in the pit, Someone betrayed by his family. A man who was capable of standing in integrity. He was a man that had a facet of different things that his life experienced, because it is indicative of this coat of many colors, the much stitching that was taking place. But God takes everything that you have went through and He stitches it together to make a coat, this life that's filled with many colors. And not all the time can we see, God, what are you doing in my life? But when you look back, you can say, oh, okay, I see. Now I understand that all things do work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purposes. I don't know where you've been. You don't know exactly where I've been, but I do know one thing, that I have a God who can create a life out of a lot of different things. He can take anything in this life and He can shape it for His glory and for His will and for His purpose. My life is that coat. It wasn't a coat that I had anything to do with. It was the coat that was made by my Father. Now follow me. Because this is the coat in Joseph's life that represents the coat of salvation. The next few weeks, I'm going to share with you the different coats that Joseph wore. First of all, he wore this coat that was multifaceted, multicolored, the coat of salvation. There's another coat that he wore when it was pulled from him from Potiphar's wife, the coat of Christian character. I'm going to talk on that. Next few weeks, there was another coat that he wore, and it was the coat that was given to him by Pharaoh, that he was put on ornately and rode behind the Pharaoh in his chariot as the second to the king. That's the coat of the overcomer. You don't want to miss him, I'm telling you. This coat was the coat of salvation God had stitched together in his life. God takes it all. He mixes it up. He takes the end. From the beginning, he uses those experiences. So what we have to do is we have to stop worrying about who has left us in our life, who has stayed with us in our life, who raised you in your life, who didn't raise you. You have to just think about the coat that God is making in your life. Where you've been, what you've lost, what's been hurt in your life, you've got to remove that from the negative, and you've got to understand God's been stitching this coat together for a long time. Some of your family, you don't know why God put you in that family that you're in, but let me tell you something. God can use every part of your life to stitch that beautiful coat of salvation in you, because had it not been for God's stitching and God's creativity, you wouldn't be where you are today. You wouldn't have the perspective that you have today. You wouldn't have the gratitude that you have today. Thank God for all of the experiences that He's placed and brought into my life, because now I can see that that salvation was great because of where I've been. It's like what Paul says, and I want to read it. He says, brothers, I want you to think of what you were before you were called. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to think about what you were. Think about what you were before Jesus found you where He found you. He said, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. I don't know any kings that were born in this room. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And so that, look at verse 29, so that no one may boast before Him, because, look at verse 30, it is because of Him, somebody say Him, it's because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus. It's because of His great plan way back there, right there when you were just getting started in life, that great plan that God had for you, it's because of all of those things. It's because of Him that you have finally found your life in Christ and you can be thankful for all that God's done. It's because of that great Father who's been stitching that coat together in your life for a long time. Who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Amen. So this makes sense of all of the challenges that some of you have been having in your life. All of the times that you've had to navigate the pitfalls of life, That pit that you found yourself in that time, it makes sense of how you fell into that pit. Because there was a God who was making your life and creating that coat of salvation. Anybody wearing the Father's coat this morning? The Bible says that he stitched him a coat of many colors. And then it says that Joseph, who was despised by his brothers, had a dream. God's hand was upon this young man. And he had a dream, and he shared his dream with his brothers. And the Bible says that they despised him all the more. Kind of sounds like that parallel with Christ. I came to the world, and my own received me not. He was despised by his brothers. You see, usually, and I want you to catch this, usually in life, God will use lots of different things as for blessings and for salvation in your life. All of those circumstances. But it's not usually the circumstances that you need to worry about in your life. It's not the circumstances. It's usually the characters of life that you have to worry about.
Yes.
There are usually three types of people. There are three types of people in life that will come and be a part of you. Three types of people. First of all, you will have those who I like to call the confidants. These are the people who are in your life because of you. They love you, disregarding of who you are. They are in it for you. It's all about you. They love you unconditionally. They're in for the long haul. You can't even run them off. They're a confidant. You can't get rid of them. They laugh when you like to laugh. They'll cry when you like to cry. They will get in trouble with you when you get in trouble. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you that had brothers and sisters, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it was corporal punishment. I mean, everybody got it, right? They get in trouble with you when you get in trouble. That's a confidant. They are for you. They are in your life to help you receive the destiny that God has in your life. And let me just say this. You cannot have the blessed life. You will not receive the destiny of God without a confidant in your life. Someone who is mentoring you and speaking into your life. You cannot receive the destiny of God. Here's why. Because you can't have a David without a Jonathan. You can't be a king on the outside of the walls unless you've got a friend on the inside of the walls. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You've got to have that friend who is in it for you. They are in it for you, a confidant. It's not the circumstances you have to care for, it's the characters. There's the next group of people. They're called the constituents. They're not in it for you. They're not in it in your life for you. They are in it for what you are for. They're not for you. They're just for what you are for. Whatever you're for, they're in it with you. And they'll go to amazing lengths to help you accomplish what they are also wanting to accomplish. But what you can't do is you cannot get these folks confused that they are for you. Because what happens is if somebody else comes along who is for something that they are also for that may be bigger, they will follow them and drop you like a rock. They're in it just to win it. They're for what you're for, but they're not for you. The confidants are very few in your life. If you have two or three of those in your lifetime, you are a blessed individual. Constituents will come and go in your life. They're not bad people. They will assist you. They will be with you. They will help you, but they just remember that they're not for you. They're only for what you're for. Finally, you have those last group of people, which I like to call the comrades. Being in Russia, I was familiar with the word comrade. Comrades, they're not for you. And they're not even for what you're for. They are only for what you're against. Now listen to this. So as soon as you win the victory, they're gone. Because they're only for what you're against. It's not about what you're for. It's definitely not about you. And you can't be confused with who they are in your life. All they are concerned about is when the victory is accomplished and we have won this thing, we're moving on. When we get accomplished what we need to accomplish, these are the folks that what you would call are the scaffold of life. Once again, nothing disparaging against these folks. You just have to understand who they are in your life. They are the comrades. They want to get the win. We're against some things. We're not necessarily for you, but we will fight alongside of you until we win. But when the victory's over, it's done and over with. You see, but here's the thing about it. When you put scaffolding up to build a building, there will come a point when you pull the scaffolding away, but the building is still going to be there. Joseph tells his brothers these dreams, and his brothers despised him, and they despised him even more when he tells them twice. He said, I had two dreams, and they didn't care for it. They didn't like it. You have to be careful who you share your dreams with. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm being practical now. You have to be very careful who you share your dreams with, because there's only going to be a few folks in your life who will help you to achieve those dreams that God has called you to achieve the destiny. You have to find the people in your life who really want to see you blessed, who really want to see God do something great in your life. You've got to find those somebodies in your life. And when you find them, you have to thank God for those somebodies and quit regretting about the people who left you a long time ago. Worry about the ones that God has placed in your life and quit worrying about those who have already left. You have to look for those who have their own robe, their own coat that's been stitched together. And they're not looking to get yours. Find those people who have had those experiences that they can come along beside of you and say, hey, you know what? This is how I got this right here. It's where this scar came from. Oh, you got one kind of like that. Bible says in verse 18 that they conspired against him. There's a plan against him. A conspiracy. Say that with conspiracy. The enemy's attacks against your life are not random attacks. Things that come against you in your life, they didn't just happen to happen. The enemy is conspiring against you. Have you ever had one of those weeks where you just looked up and you just said, if one more thing happens. When it rains, it pours, right? The enemy has been working against you all your life for you not to receive and walk into the blessing and the destiny that God has for you. To walk in the salvation that God has for your life. To keep you from getting where God wants you to go. The enemy wouldn't send a conspiracy against you unless you were his beloved son. So the next time you get discouraged about all the things that are happening in your life, don't weep, celebrate. Say, wow, I know that I must be loved by God if the enemy is working overtime to try to slow me down and to set me back and to keep me from receiving the blessing of God. Understand what that conspiracy is. The Bible goes on, and I close with this. They stripped him of his coat. They stripped Joseph of his coat. The Bible says that they took it out and they made this plan of how they would deceive their father of Joseph's whereabouts. Now, once again, let me just remind you that this coat of salvation, this coat of many colors, is representative of more than just Joseph's life. This thing was the stitching together, not just of his life, but it was the stitching together of the plan of God, the church, that would soon come into existence. Because if you fast forward 1,000 years or so, and you fast forward, you see this coat once again in the book of Acts. Gathered together in the upper room of people from every tribe and every nation, every ethnic group, every background, every language, every area that begin to spread out And God began to piece people together and bring this group together that was going to change the world. Oh, I hope y'all are following me now. Come on, Journey Fellowship. I hope you're with me now. God began to piece things together, bring people together to the right spot so that once they came together, they would be an unstoppable force because the Holy Spirit was going to fill them with the power that they needed to fulfill the purpose and the blessing that God wanted to bestow upon the earth. God's been piecing us together. Putting us and bringing us to the right spot at the right time. And then finally in verse 31, we didn't read it, but part of the plan was to deceive their father by taking this coat. They said, what we're going to do is instead of killing him, we're going to sell him, but we'll take his coat and we will dip it in the blood of a goat. And we will take it to our father and we will say he was devoured by wild beasts. Here's the good part. All of this that God has been doing in your life, all of this stitch work that he's been sewing together, putting in your life, he takes that life and he dips it into the blood. Not the blood of a goat. He dips it into the blood of a lamb. He dips it into the blood of the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. This life of yours that's scattered and torn and it looks ragged and it looks ill-prepared and it doesn't look like it's been sewn together well. It doesn't look planned. Oh, it's been planned for a long time, friend. This great salvation that we are a part of, this great work that was started long ago that ended with Christ being upon a cross on Golgotha, who gave up his life as a sacrifice for many, who gave his blood that cleansed the most vile of sinners, that blood has been applied to your life, friends. That blood that has been placed, that dripped off of our Savior's forehead and down through the crown of thorns has been applied to you. God has dipped you in the precious blood of Jesus. And that is the making of that coat of salvation that makes us free from all of our past and all of our sins. Amen. They stripped him of that coat. They took his coat, but they did not take his covering. I don't think everybody got that. They took his coat, but they did not take his covering. You can do whatever you want to do with that old coat. But there is a covering of the blood that cannot be changed. It wasn't the coat that sold the story to Jacob, to the father, to Israel. It was the blood, because that was the covering of the story. You can lose your coat, but you don't have to lose your covering. Is there anybody in this room has lost some things this morning? You know what I'm talking about. You've lost in life. You've lost this and you've lost that. Let me tell you, friend, the blood of Jesus will never run dry. It's always the same. It will never change. It still has the power to redeem and to work in your life. You may have loss in your life, but you cannot lose the blood of Jesus if you continue to allow it to be applied to your life. The enemy thought that he could just put him in a pit and be done with him. That he could steal his dreams. He could steal his destiny. But he forgot about the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What can transform a rank sinner into the celebrating saint of glory? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible without the blood is nothing but a historical story. A church without the blood is nothing more than a civic organization. Preaching without the blood is nothing more than excited, motivational speech. But with the blood of Jesus, there is power to redeem. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you are blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.